everybody, to Juwan's for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm chuckling because I was just thinking maybe I shouldn't have played those drums. The natives are already restless. I don't want to start nothing, you know. It's been an interesting few days, and I'm just happy to be back before you again today. It's a beautiful day, and I've got another special show lined up for you. I say that every time my special guest comes on. She's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and every time she comes, she brings a lot of powerful, insightful, life-changing, life-saving information, and I'm just grateful and thankful that she is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. The special guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. In case you don't know who she is, I guarantee you you're in for a treat. She's a holistic health and wellness expert and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and the joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is a dynamic speaker and educator. She hosts a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations as well. Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chest. As you can tell, she is committed to the work that she does. Holistic health is what she does. I mean, and you are definitely blessed. I guarantee you, I know I'm blessed, and I know that you are too. That's why I can say that so affirmatively, because you're talking to somebody who knows what she's talking about and has got a testimony to prove it. It's rare that you find people that go around that can honestly say and add to their resume that she cured herself of thyroid cancer. There are a lot of people that just cannot say that. They cannot put that on their resume that they've actually cured cancer. Well, my special guest today has done that, and I cannot overstate that, because when you're listening to her, I want you to keep that in the forefront of your mind that the person that you're listening to cured cancer. Okay, she cured herself of cancer, so that adds to her pedigree. So I just want to just let you know who you're listening to and why you're listening to her. Doctor, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Always happy to be here, always.
You know, Doc, it's as we were talking prior to the show, it's been a very, very interesting few days, and there are a lot of people that have been running around up in arms, a lot of people that have really been stressed out. I mean, really stressed. I mean, that's the only word that I can use. Angry, I can use angry. Mad, but that results in stress. And this is a holistic health show. So I know we're talking about why vegan and, you know, why people should consider that. And it's time we really had that talk. But just prior to getting into that, if we could talk just for a moment about stress, because there are a lot of people that are going to be listening to this show that have opinions about what transpired recently with the election. And, again, you can just turn on any news channel and you can see people protesting in the streets and so forth with this stress reaction to what's taken place. Now, stress, we know, is a killer. There's no sense in people killing themselves as a result of something that's external. The election has taken place, the election is over, and now we have to move on with our lives in terms of, you know, just getting on about the business of living healthfully. Could you talk about the stress reaction and what that does to the body so that people can know that, yeah, well, you can – when you're angry, when you're mad, when you're, you know, upset and you're reacting in a particular way to certain events, some events you can't control, but you can control your reaction to those events. Could you talk about that?
Absolutely. You know, it takes a little practice of really knowing how to, you know, deal with situations and not get wrapped up in them at the same time. I have to admit, you know, sometimes, occasionally, things like this week throw me for a loop and actually affect me for a moment. But then, you know, I always go back to, you know, there's a saying, it's like life is, you know, 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond, basically. And so so I always try to be very logical about things, you know, what is, number one, just kind of playing out the scenarios in my mind. And I think sometimes that really does help, because I have been, you know, told I'm a very calm person, very have a very calming effect, and part of that is because I think I like to quickly think out the scenarios. What's the worst that could happen? What's probably going to happen? What's the best going to happen? And, you know, where, how does that affect me? And what's going to, you know, be the most beneficial reaction to this? So, you know, for example, if there's really nothing you can do about a situation, usually there's something you can do, but if it's completely out of your control, you know, being angry or anxious or upset isn't going to aid that situation at all. It's really just going to hurt yourself. So that's number one. It's like, okay, how is my reaction going to affect the outcome? If it's doing nothing but hurting me, then this is a waste of my time. So that's number one, just being very logical. And sometimes that's hard to do when you're in the middle of something that's upsetting. But then also understanding that stress is not healthy, and that we can go ahead and feel what we feel and then let it go. You know, we don't want to stuff feelings, ignore, act like something didn't happen. We want to allow ourselves a moment to acknowledge what we're feeling, acknowledge something that made me just anxious or angry or, you know, for a moment, acknowledge that and then let it pass. And so by acknowledging it, you're saying, I have this feeling came up, but I'm not going to wallow in a, you know, downward spiral. I'm going to do something about it, or I'm going to let it go. So those are, you know, techniques that we just have to, like, stop and take back and then realize, take a step back and realize that, you know, overreacting or chronically reacting in a high-stress mode really does cause disease. And when we realize that, then we have a little bit more impetus to let it go. Because there is so much things that we often get stressed about and that we don't realize how it affects pretty every aspect of health, from aging us early to helping cancer grow to giving us all kinds of major and minor illnesses. Stress is often that silent killer that we don't realize, or it's either that pretty much the propellant that pushes us into some kind of illness or other things that we don't realize is happening. So we have to acknowledge that and then find ways to release it. And for me, it's, you know, yoga, stretching, deep breathing, taking a moment to think things through. And that helps me let it go.
You know, with just what has happened in the last few days, again, people have been reporting on the news about it. You could tell even commentators, newscasters were trying to keep a straight face. You know, it was clear that there were a lot of people that were very upset about what was going on again. And then when you turn on the news, you see the protesters, you see, you know, the people that are, angry about this, and people are listening to the commentary about it, and they're angry, and when you're angry like that and you're in that situation and you turn on the TV, you want to watch other angry people express their anger, you know, because you're sharing the same thing. But the more you do that and the more you talk to other people that feel like you that are angry about it, then that just reinforces that. And it's like, I interviewed a guest one time, Shechem Tebrahim Sa'a, and we were talking about stress, and he gave an example about a deer just, you know, in the forest, and all of a sudden you know, there's a lion or something that eats deers, and the deer takes off running, you know, and all of a sudden, as this deer is running, there's a lot of stuff going on in this deer's body. You know, blood is being supplied to the muscles that need it. You know what I mean? He's in fight or flight mode, and he's fleeing, right? But then once this deer gets away, his body automatically goes back into a state of homeostasis. He just goes right back to normal. Slowly he gets back. His breathing becomes normal again, and, you know, he just goes on about his business and lets it go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But us, we humans, quote, end quote, get to a point, and then we get worked up, and instead of letting it come back down, you know, we keep talking about it. I mean, the deer doesn't go back to the other deers in the forest and be like, look, I just got chased by this lion, you know. But you know.
Right, reliving it and reliving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, honestly, I turned off the TV after, I haven't watched it since after saying that, because I didn't want to, after seeing results, I didn't really want to get pulled into that anymore, because exactly what you said, I mean, I know how I feel, and I can process it and let it go, or either, you know, take action, one of the two. So I've decided to let it go, and so I was like, the last thing I want to hear is just people pontificating about it and just being angry, because I don't need that. I already know how I feel, so I don't need to take on the weight of someone else's opinions and just stoking that fire. I agree. It's not a healthy thing. I know people, and you know that I coach people, and I will have people recount terrible situations in their lives multiple times, and I'm like, you know, you've told me this story like twice already. Why are you telling me again? I was like, because you realize this isn't helping you heal. That, yeah, I was like, so we have to process why this story is so fresh in your mind, a painful story, and let's then like reprogram it. So yeah, that rehashing actually keeps you in the energy of that negative thing. So, you know, if the deer kept talking about being chased by a bear, lion, or person, you know, he would probably be chased very shortly thereafter again, because he's recounting it and putting that energy out there. And that's what we do when we have these terrible situations. You know, we feel either we haven't validated the pain associated with it, so we're telling everyone so that we can revalidate ourselves or get that validation we're looking for, or something, or we just don't realize the negative impact of living in that energy, what that really does. And so I often coach people and say, let's talk about that. Let's, you know, get to the root of it so you can let this go, and don't tell the story again after we've talked mm-hmm. about it, because it's not a good story. It's a very bad thing that can actually breed disease, breed more discontent, breed more sadness, and attract that negative energy that you're feeling in the midst of it. Because I'm talking about things that have happened to people 10, 20 years ago, and they're recounting it like it was literally last week that it happened, with the same energy and the same pain. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not healthy. We've got to let it go. And so, yeah, we have to realize that. What do we talk about most of the time? What are we replaying? What story are we retelling ourselves, you know, over and over and over? And I have to, you know, just, you know, catch myself every so often. But I've kind of really gotten a hold of that self-talk and using staying away from negative generalizations that we make about ourselves, that we make about our culture. You know, we're never going to do this, or, you know, our whatever our group is never does X, Y, and Z. It's like, well, if you keep saying that and putting that negative energy out there, then it really will never happen, because you're speaking your reality.
You know, Doc, I know we're going to get to the vegan aspect of this show, but I want to say, because this is so on point, and so this discussion that we're having right now is so timely, because when you think about it, the people, for everybody that was upset about the result of the election, there was obviously more people that were rejoicing about it,
mm-hmm.
about the,
mm-hmm.
You know, about what happened. I mean, there were people mm-hmm. dancing, and for everybody that's protesting in the streets, there was probably somebody dancing in the streets, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at people, when we look at things from our own perspective and negate the other person's perspective, that's their reality. I mean, there are people that are actually joyous about this outcome, and their reaction to it and their joy concerning it, as odd as it might seem to some people, to them is very, very real. That's their reality. And when we don't look at things through other people's eyes, as odd and crazy as it might seem to us, then we're causing this separation. And I just want to read just briefly a quote from a book that I would like to just recommend to everybody. It's called The 11 Laws of God by Raoul Nefarmen. And the second law is the law of Osir, and it states that your nature is an unconquerable peace. That's your nature. Your nature is an unconquerable peace. Therefore, nothing or no one in the world can be against you. All experiences come to you to promote your reclamation of peace, that you may in turn acquire wisdom and power. I'll just read that one more time. Your nature is an unconquerable peace. Therefore, nothing or no one in the world can be against you. All experiences come to you to promote your reclamation of peace, that you may in turn acquire wisdom and power. So when viewed from that perspective, when we look at life and, you know, the different things, the different events that take place in our life, if we don't look at it from that perspective, I'll say it's easy to point fingers and say, oh, do you know what this person did to me? But if, as a result of what that person did, if you reclaim your peace and exercise peace in the situation, and as a result of that you grow and get wisdom and power, then it's not what they did to you, it's actually what they did for you. So, you know, I just want to just throw that out there because, again, for the people that are upset and angry and mad, if you can exercise peace in this, if, as the quote stated, all things come to you for your reclamation of peace, then this is an opportunity, a grand opportunity for everybody to actually grow if we exercise peace in this situation, knowing that nothing and no one can be against us. Any thoughts?
I agree with that 100%. Absolutely. It is an opportunity to practice all of these faith sayings that we have and say and all of that. And I like to make a distinction because I never just rely on, you know, I've seen a lot of cliches that are thrown out there for people who basically sound like they have given up, you know, like, oh, well, you know, it's all in God's hands, next. And I'm like, that is true, but that never relieves you of your responsibility to feel what you feel or to take action. So it's like, while that is true, does this, A, require action, and should I take action? If it does not require action, but it takes me processing and understanding and doing something internally about it, I need to do that too, and not just kind of throw off our responsibility of feeling, thought, logical thought processes and action by just kind of throwing our hands up and making this blanket, somewhat cliche statement that means I can't process this, so I'm not going to, so I'm just going to throw that out there and bury my head in the sand. That's not, to me, that's not a healthy approach. So while I agree with the statement, I'm not saying anything wrong with that initial statement, but it's how we're using it. Are we using that as a crutch to relieve us of our responsibility? Are we using it to basically bury our feelings and not deal with it? You know, what are we doing with that? And I'm like, so that number one is that we have to deal with it. And then two, I learned a long time ago the best way to diffuse anger and someone you see as your enemy is to put yourself in their shoes. Allow yourself to see the world through their eyes. Allow yourself to see yourself through their eyes and have empathy. Even though this person may be doing you wrong, may be, you know, in the wrong, when you allow yourself to see from their eyes, you can understand their perspective. Whether it's wrong or right, you still can have some empathy for that person, and you can release that anger. Again, it doesn't relieve us of responsibility of taking action, but it relieves you of this deep-seated you know, burgeoning anger that just like grows and grows and grows until you're a bitter person. So I when I was working, you know, in my first big job, I was given a really big position over a contract, and I was pretty young because I was just right out of grad school. And my coworker, who'd been there longer, older, obviously felt resentment that I was the one chosen to lead this project when he obviously had more expertise. So he did everything in his power to undermine me, including going to the boss and saying that I was incompetent, didn't know what I was doing. Meanwhile, the boss had 100% confidence in me and was telling me what the guy is saying. So I have, you know, this knowledge. So I was pretty angry. I was you don't know how angry I was. So I was just holding it in. And, you know, one day I was about to just let it rip, you know, like when you've held anger in for a while and then somebody's pushing your button, you know, you go off and you know that docile person they think they were dealing with, you know, flips the script. And, you know, right when I was about to just let him have it, somebody interrupted and said they needed to talk to me. And I said, oh. And I was so angry, I was hot. You know, that's when I start realizing this is why people say I was hot. I was so mad. I was like, my temperature was up. But I had a chance to go back that night, go home where I was in a hotel room because we were off-site at this thing, and just think it through. And I said, you should never let anyone get you that angry where you are about to lose your composure. I mean, I was about to lose it. So I was like, you're going to challenge me here at work. So I was like, you know, so I had to take some breaths. I was so grateful that whoever that was came and interrupted me long enough to calm down and go home. And I just thought it through. And I said, okay, but you cannot give anyone that much power, number one, over you, because then they have won, because you're about to lose it. Number two, let's think about why he feels this way. And so I started seeing things from his perspective. You know, I could understand maybe the resentment. I could understand now the lies. No, you don't understand. But I understand his perspective, and I could get it. You know, I said, okay, I could see how he might feel threatened and feel passed over and feel whatever. That's not my problem. Yeah, but I get it. And so because I took the moment to, like, just look at it from his perspective, I was able to diffuse intense anger, very intense anger, and then deal with this more constructively, and then go back and have an intelligent conversation as opposed to a reading you up and down conversation, so that I could, you know, maintain, you know, my authority in this position and not let someone manipulate me into anger. And so that to me was, I then was also able to let go the hatred that I was building for him, because I was not just angry, I was starting to really hate this person because they're purposely undermining me when I've done nothing to him, right? So I'm like, that's not a good emotion to have. Just because he's doing that should not change my character. My character is love and kindness. And so when I let someone else, because of their ignorance, because of their insecurity, then change my heart from love to kindness to hate, they have won. And now I'm just going to start attracting more hateful people. I'm going to attract more people who are going to try to undermine me. I'm going to make it harder for myself to get ahead because I'm harboring hate. And then I'm just going to be one of those people who complains about, well, every time I try to do something, somebody does X, Y, and Z, and I'm always having problems at the workplace, and I had to sue, and I had to go to EEO. You're that person because you're harboring the energy that makes it continue to come to you. And so I said, nope, that's not going to happen. I'm releasing this hatred. I don't hate you. You are a non-factor for me. So it was more, instead of harboring actual energy, I harbored nothing. And it was all about strategy from that point on. And so I was able to get back my power and move forward and have empathy at the same time. So that hatred turned to empathy. And I maintained the person, loving person that I was, and able to just move through the situation. And so that's what people have to do with this. If you are feeling, you know, this intense, what you might feel is intense hatred, anyone who would elect blah, 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 must really hate, and maybe that is true. But for you to return it is not going to make this thing better in any shape or form. It's actually just going to make you sicker and draw more negative things to you. And so my thought process is, and I wrote, another friend of mine wrote on her site, you know, whoever's president, I'm going to thrive. I'm going to find the benefit in whatever situation I'm in. I'm going to make it work for me. And that is the that's the ideal that we need to hold. You know, we doesn't, again, mean we shouldn't do anything. Because some people are protesting in the street. I'm like, fine, if that's how you let your steam off and get this out, good for you. I have no issue with that. If you know, starting a petition is how you get your energy out and it might be helpful, then that's great for you. If just sending loving energy to people who are being antagonistic is how you work, that's what you need to do. So I'm like, it's acknowledging it, but what you don't need to do is just wallow in a you know, wall and bowl of hatred and return the same animosity that they're giving, because now you're letting them change who you are and basically have power over your life in a negative way. And that's why a lot of them are in the position they're in, thinking, oh, I don't have a job because of these people over here. And this is why we have so much hate in our country and our world, because people refuse to take responsibility for themselves. They think, my opportunity is gone because someone else takes it. You know, there's enough opportunity in this world for everyone at the same time, all the time. But we have gotten into this competition mindset that they've led us. And so we think that, oh, if this group of people gets ahead, it means this group of people are going to suffer. And when we make it a, you know, our society the way that it has, we allow that to happen. When the reality is, when this group of people gets ahead, I can get ahead too. It doesn't mean anything, but people have bought into the lie that you have to be above someone else to get where you're going. And so we don't support each other in our own culture. We don't support other cultures because we think that's going to bring us down, when that's really not. There's abundance everywhere. And when we believe that, we can support people who are even in our business doing what we do. We can collaborate because we're not fearful that their success means there's less for me. And that is what has caused the country to be so divided, because people have bought the lie that any other group that excels means I'm taking money off out of your pocket, food off your table, because we're doing better. And so that group of people, whoever feels, you know, disenfranchised, then builds an unwarranted hatred toward the other. And this is a cycle. And, you know, we can't get caught up in that. You know, we cannot return ignorance and hate with more hate. It just doesn't work that way, because then you're becoming them.
You know, Dr. Layson, I mean, this is healthy. You know, this conversation that we're just even having right now is extremely healthy. When you think about people and where they are in their own life, if you take an individual, let's say you take a guy who's, you know, underemployed or unemployed and, you know, unhappy with his whole situation, then it'll be easy for that person to get mad at an affirmative action program, or, you know, hey, it's because the commies are taking over the world, or just pointing a finger and looking at someone else and saying that I'm where I am because of this other group over here.
Right.
You know, it's
and that's the lie that they have told to keep people fighting. So while they're ruling us, you know, government, larger entities, they're ruling us by telling us these lies that fight amongst yourselves. Meanwhile, we're actually the ones taking the wealth and distributing it improperly, but it's tell those people down there that it's because of each other. Meanwhile, we get to run things in the most, you know, illegal, wrong ways as we want to, because we have them fighting amongst themselves.
Everybody, you're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Her name is Dr. Ruby Latham. My name is Jawanza. And, you know, we started off, we were going to talk about veganism, but the conversation is going where it's supposed to go. I just want to make a comment, and that is just back to the quote that I read earlier. Yeah, he was basically just stating, you know, throughout the context of the whole book was that, yes, do what you have to do, just like you said, do what you have to do. If you have to do things to move the society forward, positive action, but do it peacefully. Just do not let whatever is going on outside of you get inside of you to have you react in a way that's going to hurt you. Because as a matter of fact, if you are going to take some sort of action, you're much better equipped to do it if you do it peacefully. It's been shown that studies have shown that when you're at peace, you think clearer. You know, there are going to be just more benefits accrued to you just by having a peaceful state of mind. You're going to do something proactive and positive. You'll be better equipped to do it if you're in a state of peace, as opposed to being upset. You can't even think clear when you're mad and angry and tripping and all of that, you know. But, Doc, again, this is I really thank you for what you just shared concerning all of that, because it needed to be said, and you said it in a way that people can actually relate to it. And what you just said, I think, is going to stop a lot of people and have people think just like it's going to interrupt that motion towards anger, just like when you were about to, you know, take your PhD hat off, and then the person said, I need to talk to you for a minute. It's like Dr. Lazer said, look, don't let this PhD fool you, okay? You know, I think what you just said is going to really stop a lot of people, just like you have stopped, because when people stop and really think about it, what you just said is like, you know, that's right. You know, why? I guess I have been acting kind of, you know, this isn't like me, you know. And people, I'm sure, have gotten to the point where they, like, you know, I've been ranting so much I done gave myself a headache, you know. And then you can't feel good after a rant, you know. So everybody just try to remain peaceful and realize that stress will kill you, okay? It will kill you. It's no joke. It will kill you. So, Doc, I want to thank you for that. And now to the topic of the day, why vegan? You know, I think we need to have that talk.
Yeah. And, you know, it does tie in an interesting way, because we talk about, I mean, why vegan is a big question, and there's a lot of reasons that it's a good thing. And one of it is respect for life and living beings. And a lot of times we tend to overlook that, and we want to say, you know, kind of almost joke that off and laugh that off and say, you know, the animals were made for us to eat, whatever, you know, or, you know, as African-Americans, we often say, well, heck, we're still being persecuted. I don't have time to worry about no animals. You know, I've heard that, you know, so it's like, how can you have empathy for animals when the people in this country don't have empathy for us and they're shooting us down in the street? And I get that. I do understand that. And that's a valid point. However, having empathy for one thing doesn't negate empathy for another. It doesn't give you permission to say, well, I'm being treated badly, so I'm going to treat another living being lesser than me badly. It doesn't give you permission to do that. And it doesn't say, because we're being treated so badly, that I don't have the bandwidth to care about anything or anybody else or any other being other than myself because of the persecution that I perceive is happening. So and that's what a position a lot of people take. Like, I don't have to care about that because I am, quote, a victim of this society. And that doesn't hold water. That doesn't let you off the hook. That does not fly. So part of veganism isn't just about health. Part of it is about having respect for living beings and that they have a right to live just like we do, and that no animal wants to die. If they did, they wouldn't get away. They wouldn't try to run. They wouldn't cry and scream. They would not fight when you're trying to kill them if they wanted to be your food. If they wanted to be your food, they would just walk up to the slaughterhouse and raise their neck and say, go for it. But that's not what
right.
That's not what happens. Every living being tries to fight for its life because it wants to live. And so when we think about that, number one, that it wasn't designed to be food, and the proof that we have that it wasn't designed to be food is that the health effects that it has on us when we take it and make it food. So it just shows you right there. Secondly, when we look at animal production in this country, it is one of the most horrific and disgusting things in our country that's happening other than you know, things that we're doing as humans. So when we look at that, you know, it's the whole system is very corrupt and disgusting. And they said if slaughterhouses had glass windows, no one would be eating meat. We would all be vegetarians and vegans. Number one, mm-hmm. because it's the saddest thing you'll ever see. And then you also have to think about the humans, usually the disenfranchised humans that have to work in those conditions because they have no other or feel they have no other options for jobs, that are basically killing and dismembering things all day. You have to think about that. What kind of effect that has on the psyche. And so we're actually literally killing millions of animals per hour. And people are doing that. And so you think about, we live in a very holistic world. Everything has an effect on something else. Do you think mm-hmm. those people go home happy and cheerful, are spreading love and kindness after they have spent the day killing animals and dismembering them? You know, it's not. So we're actually really perpetuating a very depressing and negative environment just through the process of taking lives. I mean, some ways that they kill cows is literally taking a sledgehammer and hitting the cow on the head until it blacks out or dies.
Oh.
That's someone's job, is to stand there with a sledgehammer, cow after cow after cow. I'm like, what a terrible job that has to be. And it so happens that they don't go home happy, that the amounts of domestic violence are much higher, violence in those communities is much higher because of the negative death energy that's happening for 8 hours a day or more. And some of these plants, like Purdue, have been accused of not even letting their people go to the restroom. So they're wearing Depends and diapers so they can keep up the pace of the manufacturing line of tearing chickens apart. So they want to manufacture so many millions of chicken wings an hour, they don't even let people go to the restroom. So this is the kind of system that our greed and lust for meat has perpetuated, because our desire for meat has grown so much. In order to keep up with it, we're not letting people go to the bathroom. This is what this is doing. So we have to look at the holistic approach this is taking. So we're creating depressed environments. We're creating, you know, this is not successful in terms of payment for the people. This is not a viable job. And then we look at the runoff and the effect that it has on the environment as well. After, you know, before they get to the slaughterhouse, they have to be raised in a very unhealthy way, usually with growth hormones. Again, because we're so bloodthirsty that we have to have our meat and have it quick in order to keep up with this process. They are giving growth hormones and all types of things to these animals. And then there's the waste product that comes from it. And so we talk about global warming, climate change, whatever we want to call it. One of the primary contributors to it is greenhouse gases. The biggest contributor to greenhouse gases are cattle that are eating unnatural food, cattle that are not allowed to eat grass and roam free, but cattle that are fed corn, GMO, genetically modified corn, wheat, and other things that wouldn't normally eat. So those cattle, instead of eating grass, which gives it enzymes, eat this dead food that gives it gas. And so they're literally gassing up the world and actually having effect on our environment because of the off gas that they're putting from eating unnatural food. And the reason we're feeding them the unnatural food is because it makes them grow faster. So we don't have time to let them eat normal grass because that would keep them lean and not skinny, you know, not fat enough to make more money. So now we're ruining families and lives by having people kill these animals. Then we're ruining the environment because we're so greedy for food. And then we're also killing ourselves by eating diseased meat that has been pumped up with hormones and things that perpetuate diseases in ourselves. And so when you think about this cycle of this disgusting cycle that we have, and then we go to the store, we're thinking we're getting a happy cow, as they like to paint the cows in the commercials. Oh, let me get this pound of ground beef. And if you put your hand on that ground beef and could see the entire supply chain that happened from start to finish, you would run from that beef. But instead, we take it. It's been dyed with food coloring because it would be gray by now. And so we take it all happy and feed it to our family, and we are ingesting disease. We're ingesting negative energy. We're ingesting the fearfulness of that animal, the sorrow, all of that. And from the people who were, you know, pulling it apart, we're ingesting their negative energy. And so not only are we ingesting something that physically kills us, it's emotionally killing us, and then we wonder why we have so much disease and so much hatred and so much all these other things. Now we're constipated from eating all this meat, and now we're have bad attitudes with each other. So this is like, it's a cycle. So why vegan? The question really is, why not?
Whew. You know, Doc, I would like to know the percentage of the people that work in these slaughterhouses that are vegetarian or vegan, because you would think that their numbers would go up. I mean, just simply because they got to see this all day. Because like you mentioned, if any of us who have stopped eating meat or anybody that's still eating meat actually saw what took place, we would stop eating meat automatically. Well, how much more then with those who actually do the killing and hitting the cow upside the head with the sledgehammer not want to do it? And, you know, and I think education has a lot to do with it, but wouldn't you guess that the percentage of those who actually do
absolutely
the killing, you would,
a large
they would need
percentage
it.
Are, a very large percentage are. Some aren't, because they have become desensitized to it because they have to do this job. So you have a choice, you know, on, again, how you process information. So some people are going to say, I'm not eating this. And many, especially those who are cutting up the meat and cutting off the diseased pieces and doing all the dying, they're not, you know, the food coloring and things like that. They are not, they're not eating it because they're like, this is, I see, you know, mm-hmm. Others are just becoming desensitized in order to be able to do that job day in and day out, and are still consuming it. But a large number of butchers and things like that are definitely vegetarian.
You know, I was talking to a guy one time about the benefits of not eating meat, and you know, we got the subject of chicken came up, and I was telling him that, you know, basically what you said, you know, the chicken didn't want to be on your plate. The chicken was not trying to be your dinner. You know, I said the chicken was in the chicken coop trying to get away. You know what I mean? He was running from the person that was chasing him, and his response was, well, I'm glad they caught his ass. You know, I mean, that's the mindset of
right.
The people, or many people. It's like, to even consider that what you said, which was that the animal wasn't trying to end up on your plate, or to even do the research and discover that the benefits of not eating meat far outweigh any, I don't even want to use the word benefit, of eating it. So education has got to really, really, they need to teach this. Every child needs to take, you know, instead of just going to the monument on field trips, they need to take kids to the slaughterhouses on a field trip. You know, just
yeah, I mean,
to help.
Kids are naturally vegetarians. When they realize that their meat, where it comes from, they often don't want to eat it. We desensitize them before they get a chance to develop their empathy. They're naturally like, what? We're going to kill that? No, let's not eat that. I've seen many, many videos of kids and talked to many adults who said, yeah, as a kid, I wouldn't eat meat. I cried when they killed the chicken or the turkey, and even my mom would say how sad she was. She wouldn't eat the turkey chicken that was her friend, you know? So it's like, you know, kids have empathy. We basically beat it out of them by normalizing killing animals to be eaten for food. And so then by the time they're teenagers, you know, they've developed this taste for it, and it has been normalized. But a kid given its own choice, when you explain that this thing has to die for you to eat it, and we're going to kill it and cut it up on your plate. They're going to be like, no way. Let's get some carrots. Let's get some broccoli. You know, let's go to the pumpkin patch. You know, they're not trying to go and kill anything. That's just not the nature. That's not who we are. But we have been desensitized, and then our tastes have been developed, and we've been taught to believe that this is normal. Not only is it normal, it's healthy. Not only is it healthy, it is the order of the world, and that we are the dominant species, so that's what they're here for. And so then we buy into that because that feels good. That feels a lot better than saying, wait, let me think about this for a minute. Maybe I've been lied to. Maybe this isn't normal. Maybe this isn't right. Maybe this isn't healthy. Then it causes us to think. And a lot of people say, well, don't tell me. I'll talk about, you know, how disgusting the processing of meat is. And they're like, oh, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I really, because I want to continue to eat it in blind bliss. Because they know that once they see it, you can't unsee it. And then it makes you have to then decide, are you going to ignore what you just saw, or are you going to make a change? And some people will make that change, and many won't. But, you know, it's our job to get the information out there so that you're operating from a place of knowledge and not one of just blind bliss that then has to be undone once you come down with some type of disease.
Well, let me ask you this concerning veganism. And I don't even like to put the ism on the end of it. You know what I mean?
Know.
It just seems like bad or something.
It's not a religion, right?
Exactly. But when it comes to vegan or vegans, can a person be vegan? Is it just about the meal itself? Or can a person be vegan and wear clothing that came from an animal? Or can a person be vegan and wear leather? Wear leather coats and shoes and have leather purses, and because there would be those that would argue that, oh, well, you're not really vegan then, you know, if you because that came from an animal. You don't think the animal that you know, well, the animal had to die for you to wear that that fur or that leather. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a difference between eating vegan or plant based and living a vegan lifestyle. So you can eat vegan and, you know, wear leather or, you know, I mean, fur is, like, ridiculous, but you can eat vegan and, you know, wear leather and fur if you want to. You're still doing something good for the environment because, you know, you're not killing the cow that made your purse every day, but we continue to eat beef that creates this need for it. Now, I'm not justifying, you know, wearing leather or fur or whatever, but it definitely lessens the demand for meat when you stop eating it on a daily basis, because you think about how many chickens or cows or whatever per month are dying to support your burgers and fries or whatever. That's a lot less than it is to support, you know, shoes or coat. However, true veganism, if you're living the vegan lifestyle, and people who call themselves vegan generally are living it, you know, full circle in terms of abstaining from all animal products in both their lifestyle and what they wear and what's in their home, you know, shoes, clothes, the whole thing. So, but, you know, it's not something to say, well, I can't eat vegan because I'm going to keep my leather shoes. It doesn't matter. You're still doing a service to yourself and the world if you stop eating that. So we can get away from the labels, really, and just say, you know, I'm not eating meat. I'm not eating any meat or meat byproducts. You don't have to wear the label in order to do it. And so we don't want the label of what, quote-unquote, true veganism is to stop people from making those small steps in the right direction. Because most of us didn't just wake up and become 100% vegan living overnight. It was a process. You know, it's a process sometimes to make these changes, to start saying, okay, well, you know, I have leather shoes already. Maybe I just won't buy any new ones, but it doesn't mean I need to throw away the ones I have. Because before I knew, you know, so it's like, but I'm going to make an effort now going forward to look for, you know, things that aren't made from animals and, you know, then slowly replacing those things. So it doesn't stop you from, you know, doing whatever you can, you know, eating meat-free is the biggest thing you can do. Adding the whole lifestyle component to it brings it full circle.
Yeah, because I could see somebody saying, let's say if somebody was promoting a vegan or eating vegan, and they had on a leather coat, and the person that they were talking to, I mean, because when you're looking for an excuse to not do something, you know, you'll find it, you know. So a person, I could hear the person being talked to saying, well, man, you sitting up here telling me about slaughterhouses and animals and the mistreatment of animals and slaughterhouses. Man, you wearing a leather jacket. You know, how are you going to tell me about not eating meat because of the mistreatment of animals, and you sitting up here with a mink fur on? You know, I could hear that response.
Right. It's not an excuse. It's like, that person who's not eating meat but wearing leather has still made a huge leap in reducing their greenhouse gas footprint, in improving their health, in stopping the torture of these animals. So they're still doing a huge, when people eat meat, they generally eat it every day, several times a day, which creates a huge demand. Stopping eating meat just once per week does more for the environment, they say, than it does buying an electric car or doing all these other energy-saving things for the environment. So you can't down someone who has said, I'm not going to eat meat, but I haven't got to the leather, getting rid of all the leather in my closet yet. So then that gives you permission to go ahead and have that hamburger, you know, if that makes you feel better about it, sure, but that's bogus. The logic doesn't follow. And so, I mean, it's good to know the difference, because there are some people who are eating vegan and don't even realize the rest of it, the whole lifestyle piece of it. They haven't even gotten there yet. So it really makes no sense to criticize them for that when they have obviously first made a choice of what's going to go into their bodies on a regular basis, which is the biggest difference, because we're not buying leather coats every day, are we? No, we usually buy one every other year or something, you know. So when you look at the demand, supply and demand, it's much different.
Well, let's talk, if we can, about cons. You know, we've given the pros to vegan living, vegan lifestyle, vegan eating. Are there any cons? Is there any downside at all? I mean, you know, you hear people say, well, I got to get my protein. And, I mean, in past shows, we've debunked that. But, I mean, we can talk about that for a moment if you like. But besides a person saying that, well, I don't get my protein. How am I going to get my protein? You know, and we know that, of course, you can get protein. There are other sources of protein. But is there any downside at all to being vegan?
I mean, I think there can be a downside as to while you're learning how to be vegan, how to eat vegan all the time. There's a social aspect that can be difficult in terms of sharing food, because we're very social with food, and a lot of things, celebrations and just social life is around food and going out to eat and all of that. So I will say, you know, choosing a vegan lifestyle does make that a little more difficult, because our restaurant food industry hasn't caught up with it yet. They are slowly adding more vegan options and are able to modify things that aren't even on the menu. But it can be difficult from a social aspect, because then it's just harder to go out and share food. And then it's also harder sometimes at celebrations with family and holidays if you're the only vegan one. Sure, that can be a little hard. But there are ways around it to deal with that. So to me, that's probably the only downside, but it can be managed. It's not down enough to say, oh, well, guess I can't do that because, you know, Thanksgiving, you know what I mean? So it is that, you know, honestly, that is the downside, just having to be a little more choosy about where you eat and, you know, helping select the restaurant so that you know there's something there that you can eat. But it's also an opportunity to educate people so they have more variety in their diets as well. You just don't want to be negative about it. And, you know, you take food with you and you share, make sure it tastes good and you share it and things like that. I mean, growing up, we'd have, you know, big Thanksgiving with my grandmother and, you know, all meat eaters and everything. And my mom would make they would make the sides without meat and everything, but we would bring our own entree dishes, and the family, they would all eat our stuff because it tasted so good. And we'd be like, well, you know, you can't eat it all because then we don't have anything because we can't share your stuff. So you just have to find ways around it and make it work for you. Keep a positive attitude and be determined that you can make this work and leave your judgment of other people at the door.
Now, what about people who are saying, I'm on medication, you know, this vegan stuff sounds good, and I would love to, you know, eat better, you know, but to, you know, go all the way vegan, you know, I'm taking allopathic medicine. And that sounds rhetorical, but would that in and of itself, because people are taking medication, prohibit them in any way from eating vegan? Just not even talking about the lifestyle and not the leather and all of that, but just the food aspect of it. Would a person that's on medication be in any way harmed by eating vegan or going vegan, letting go of the meat, the dairy, and all of that?
Absolutely not. They're the main ones who need to go vegan immediately so they can get off of those medications, honestly. So, no, there's no a vegan lifestyle. It does not interfere with your medications. It's actually going to help them probably work better. The effect will be that you'll probably need less of the medications. So, no, you have even a bigger impetus to go vegan if you are on medications.
You know, Doctor, I wish we could go on and on and on and on and on, but I have to respect your time. Maybe we can do a part two to this because I still had a couple more questions. But maybe
sure.
We can do a part
two. Part
okay.
Two, yeah.
And I know you got some things coming up, some different workshops and things. Can you tell us, the listeners, what if you got a, I think it's Sunday. Is it this Sunday you've got a program?
Yeah, this Sunday. I have my annual vegan holiday dinner and webcast. So the purpose of it really helped kick off my show, The Veggie Chest, which you can find online or on YouTube. Just put in The Veggie Chest. And it was really kind of kicking off the show, you know, teaching people that healthy food can taste good. Also to give people some recipes for the holiday, especially if this is your first, second vegan holiday season coming up and you want some good dishes that are tested and tried, this is for you. You can either watch it online. It's going to be start at 4:00 online, or you can join in person if you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and actually have a home-cooked meal by me and enjoy all the good stuff so you can taste test it and choose what you want to make for your own family and friends for the holiday season. Or just any time, really, but it helps people get some good ideas, things they can share. So that's this Sunday for 3:30 if you're coming in person. So you can go to my website to sign up for that. If you want the link to watch it online, sign up for that too. That's free. If you want to come to the dinner, there's a fee for that, and you can sign up for online for that. So just go to rubylathon.com. That's RubyLathon.com. And you can check it out there. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to get out to that and to be a part of that. If you can't make it and, you know, physically be there, you can check it out online, because this is a when you're changing your life and, you know, you're making changes, eating is such a large part of our life. I mean, we eat several times a day. Most of us eat several times a day. So eating is a large part of, you know, our daily routine. So if you're trying to be healthy and live a long, healthy life, then hopefully everything that you heard today would be a compelling argument towards you really considering going vegan if you have not. And if this show doesn't do it, remember, we're going to do part two. So I want to encourage everybody to make sure you go to rubylathon.com, check out her website, and she'll give you all the information on how you can attend the workshop and, you know, the online information. Doc, before we go, though, you went back to school today, didn't you?
I did. I went back to two schools today, actually. I was with two classes of fourth graders at two different schools. We were teaching them all about healthy eating and why you should eat your vegetables. And we taught them about eating the rainbow and eating lots of different colors food, and had them eating raw cabbage, raw yellow squash, carrots, apples, all in a really healthy coleslaw, and they loved it. They actually loved it, and they helped make it. And so something they can take home, recipes they can take home to their parents and really get into it. And the kids are really receptive and open and had a lot of energy, a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'll be doing more of that at different schools in the area, and it's great. They just a lot of fun kids that we had today.
You know, Dr. Layton, I really appreciate all of the work that you do because, again, for those of us who are, you know, have adopted a healthy lifestyle, it's very encouraging to hear people that are out there doing the work that are actually getting into the schools and teaching the young kids about it and then doing workshops and on how to do it. Then you have cooking classes and you have men-only cooking classes and you have cooking classes for everybody. I mean, you know, that is very, very encouraging. You know, you do actually do the workshop with us at the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center. I mean, it is just so inspiring, and, you know, it just lifts my spirits to talk to somebody that's out there because I'm very passionate about holistic health, and then I see your passion and I feel your passion when you talk about it, and it's just beautiful to see somebody out there doing the work. I mean, because you could easily, once you cured yourself of thyroid cancer, you know, by adopting changing your lifestyle, you could have easily just rode off into the sunset, you know, continued engineering, you know, and we could have not been having this show. But you turned around and decided, I'm going to teach others about the benefits of eating healthy and adopting a plant-based diet, and my testimony could be their testimony, and I really appreciate that. That's a giving spirit. I mean, you could have been just selfish and kept it to yourself, but I guess when you come to this type of thing and you see the natural reaction, I was going to say miracle, to giving the body what it needs, it just does something to you. It makes you want to go tell everybody. Another one of our guests, Coy Dunstan, who cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon, changed his life. I mean, he had aspirations of, he had graduated from law school. I mean, was going to be an attorney. And then once he saw the natural response to giving the body what it needs, it changed his life too. He went off, and instead of riding off into the sunset, now his mission is to tell everybody else about it. I think it's something about when you actually see the I don't want to say miracle, but the miracle, it just changes your life, huh?
It does. And if you have an empathetic spirit, you don't want to keep this to yourself because you see so many other people suffering. It's like, well, that would be really selfish of me not to share and share and share and share, because that was the thing for me. It's like, wait a minute. If I can do this, there are like thousands, if not millions of people who need the same information to do it for themselves. And we need to take, we talk about taking things back. We need to take back our health, take back the responsibility for our food, take back what goes on our plate into natural food, and get away from this processed garbage they're feeding us, and take back our health and the responsibility for our health by what goes on our plate, and save ourselves. And that is the mission, because I hate to see people suffer unnecessarily, suffer, period, but especially when I know that could be alleviated by just changing what's on the plate. And so it's just one of those things. It is my dedication. And then realizing, you know, after I healed myself and knowing that my grandmother died from diabetes-related complications, I was like, you know, if I had known then what I knew now, she'd probably still be with us. So I often say it's in her honor that I helped to save other people's grandparents by sharing this right now.
Doc, before we go, could you just please just, you know, because you talk about taking back your health, and it's really in our hands. I mean, there are a lot of people that are going to listen to this broadcast, listen to this information, and either they themselves are having health challenges or they know someone that does. And when you really consider the fact that your health is in your hands. Yes, you could go out here and be in a car accident, or you could, you know, be in a some accident that could take your life. But most of us, I heard the phrase that we're digging our graves with our forks. I mean, could you just talk about just that in our closing moments, just the importance of people realizing that whatever condition of health that you find yourself in, it's because, and I don't want to sound judgmental, but what we eat is a large part of that.
It is. It is. We do have to take responsibility for our part in whatever. And a lot of times, you know, things are environmental or whatever, but we still have a responsibility. And it's not a judgment to say, oh, you're sick because you're a bad person, or you're sick because, no, we're sick because maybe sometimes miseducation, bad habits, addictions, whatever, or just didn't simply know or lived in the wrong place, you know, drank the wrong water. That can happen. But a lot of us, the majority of us who have lifestyle-related illnesses, diabetes and kidney failure and, you know, cataracts and all these things and cancers, most cancers are based on what we're putting in our mouths, whether we knew it or not. And so once the purpose of pointing that out is to educate you to say, now that you know this, you can do something about it, not to make you feel bad because you have it. So it's so that now you can take the power. Knowledge is power if you use it. So now you have the power to make a difference and save yourself and save your children and save your family and all of this the same, you know, so they don't have to go through what you're going through. And so that's the point. It is up to us to change that. And that's you know, we have to take responsibility for that and be willing to do the work that comes with making the change.
Dr. Lathan, I'm speechless. I mean, you laid it out again. I told everybody at the top of the show that this was going to be a powerful show, that you were listening to the voice of wisdom, somebody who's done it, somebody who's seen this plant-based diet work over and over and over again. She has a personal testimony. Her information doesn't just come from research, but experience. I mean, she cured herself of cancer. I got to say it again. She cured herself of cancer. Now, it just so happened that in her situation, the testimony was cancer. For you, it could be diabetes. It could be high blood pressure. It could be a heart condition. It could be arthritis. It could be gout. It could be anything, liver, anything. It could be, just give her a call, okay? Go to the website, excuse me, rubylathan.com. If you're able to make the event that she's got on Sunday, definitely do that. Find out how you can do that. Check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. If you're making a transition and you feel like, oh, I don't know how to cook vegan, I don't know how to do this, there's no excuses. She's making it easy for you. All you have to do is go to YouTube, punch in the Veggie Chest, and you'll see everything that comes up, and you'll be able to sit back and watch and visually. See, it's one thing to listen to a radio broadcast. It's another thing to be there and to lay your eyes on it or to actually visually see it. So definitely take advantage of this wisdom, all of this information, and you're getting it free. I mean, you know, you're listening to this show, it doesn't cost you a dime, okay? But be willing to invest in yourself, okay? Because think of all the bad stuff that we've invested in. Now it's time to invest in you. So don't let the fact that, you know, they say eating vegan costs more, or, you know, this workshop was this or that. Listen, you're worth whatever it is, you know, because trust me, you don't miss your health until it's gone. Dr. Lathan, any parting words?
I would just say, you know, take what you've heard and plan to do something with that information, whatever level you're ready to do with it, whatever level of change you're ready to implement, decide to do that and do that. And don't take the, well, all or nothing, well, I'm not going to go vegan, so I'm just going to ignore everything I heard. You can still reduce. You can still start eating better. And then you can move on up, because they say everyone who's vegan at one point said, I could never be vegan, including myself. I made that statement. So I believe it's true. Everyone who said it, who is vegan, has made that statement, unless you grew up vegan, has made that statement before, because it requires a mind shift. And if I can do it, and I was a cheese lover, if I can do it and have no desire for cow's cheese to this day, I know you can do it too.
Doc, I want to thank you so much. Again, I bow to you, my sister. I mean, because, again, you're a lifesaver. You are a lifesaver. You don't talk to people every day that save lives and change lives for the better, you know. And so for that, I honor the work that you do. And I just pray that God continue to open doors for you to continue to do the work that you do. And remember, everybody, we're not the vegan police, you know. We're not judging you. Nobody's going to come to lock you up if you don't, or point out everything that you do wrong. Oh, you're eating cheese again. You know, this is to save your life. This is to save your life. Okay, so we just want you to know that this information is being shared with you in love. It didn't come across your ears by an accident. You tuned in on purpose, so either it's for you or it's for somebody that you know. So be sure to share the link, okay? If you got it by Facebook, share the link. If you're just listening, you're just on Blog Talk and you happen to find out about it, share the link, and please keep coming back because Dr. Latham will be doing a part two to this, and she's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. She comes on once a month, and we talk about a different aspect of holistic health. So definitely stay tuned for part two. I'll be letting you know when that's going to be. Dr. Latham, thank you so much. I went over a little bit, but I thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you, and keep up the good work. That's all I can say.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the show. It's been great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Latham. I'm going to put a crown on her head. That's Queen Dr. Ruby Latham. Definitely make sure you go to her website, rubylatham.com, and check out all of the information that she's got there. I mean, you definitely want to take advantage of the wisdom and the information that this sister brings to us. You know, we can benefit from it. We can grow from it, but only if we use it. You know, sometimes people hear information like this and they might sit back and say, you know, that was a great show. And I'll admit, it was a great show. She shared a lot of information. But it's only really great to the degree that you benefit from it. You know, she can articulate this information as eloquently as she did, but if you don't use it, guaranteed you this, somebody will. Okay? Somebody's going to take this information and they're going to be like, you know what? That is what I needed to hear. I needed to hear that. That is the answer to my prayers. That is what I've been looking for. You can do this. You can do this. And I just want to encourage everybody to keep listening because, again, when you're on a holistic path, then you need all of the support. You need all of the encouragement that you can get. And if you don't get it from your circle, from the circle of people that you know, come in contact with every day, might be your family members. You might have decided, you know, I'm going to go vegan. I'm going to give this thing a try. Or at the very least, I'm going to stop eating meat. Maybe I'm going to start off a vegetarian and maybe transition into becoming a vegan. But I just don't have the support from my family. I'm the woman of the house. You might be the woman of the house. And you might be like, I have to cook for my family. And my husband ain't going for that. I can't go tell that man that I've stopped eating meat and that I'm not going to cook meat for the whole family anymore. Well, let him listen to this show. Or whoever it is in the family. If you feel that you can't explain it the way Dr. Latham explained it, then let them listen to Dr. Latham. Don't try to explain it yourself. Let them listen. Say, listen, there's a show I want you to hear. You know, it was very interesting. You know, I think that we could benefit from it. And oftentimes, the way we present information will determine how people receive the information. So when presenting this information to somebody that might not be where you are, remember that they're not where you are. So you have to present it in a way that it doesn't come across as being judgmental. It doesn't come across as you feeling that you're better than them. Because sometimes when we get information, sometimes we feel good about that, you know. And oftentimes people will look for anything to feel good about themselves. If it means me having some information that you don't have, you know, then that could make a person feel good about themselves. Yeah, I got something that they don't have. You know, no, that's not what this is about. This is about all of us getting there together. If you came across information and it's helping you, feel good about it by all means, but not to the point of feeling better than somebody else. Don't use that as a reason to feel, you know, better about yourself because you have some information that somebody else doesn't have. Because remember, there was a point in time in your life when you didn't have this information. It actually came to you by some means. Somebody shared it with you, okay? So be open. Be gentle when sharing this information because a lot of people haven't heard it before. Don't look at the people that still eat meat as ignorant. Don't look at them in that way. Don't look at them like that, okay? Don't look at them. Don't look down on them, okay? Be loving. Be kind. This is about us getting there together. This is about saving lives. This is about changing lives. This is about increasing the quality of your life. Now, I want to invite you to go down the archives and listen to the other shows by Dr. Lathan. We've done shows on diabetes. We've done shows on, oh my gosh, I can't remember all of the shows that we've done with her because she's been with us for over a year now, and we've talked about holistic health, different aspects of holistic health, how to reverse everything from obesity to erectile dysfunction. Okay, so just scroll down the list. Prostate cancer, colon cancer, I mean, you name it, we've talked about it, okay? So scroll down the list, the archives, and find shows that, you know, interest you. We've done shows with Brother Coy Lathan, King Coy Dunstan, the brother who I mentioned cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon. He's a regular on Juwanza for Life. Also got shows with Dr. Ted Watkins, who used to be a surgeon, graduated from Howard University School of Medicine in 1977, and was a surgeon, was actually cutting the body open, okay, and actually God called him out of that, and now he has been doing the holistic health thing for decades, okay. We've got shows with him. So you want to definitely tune into the archived shows. Also, if you're on the spiritual side of things and you want some shows on meditation, we got that. Okay, we've got shows with Hatshepsut Heru, Sekhmet Nater, on the Menab meditation, on the Wahab meditation. We've done shows, no, that wasn't with him on the Wahab, that was with Shechem and Shechem Ra and Nefer Amen on the Wahab meditation. We've done shows with Shechem and Shechem on Stress Free for Life, that's in the archives. We've done shows with Or Wahehi Meturah and Comet, on the 11 Laws of God, on the 7 Divisions of the Spirit. I mean, you name it. We've done shows with Shechem Tepraim Saha on, you know, a healthy and vital brain, you know, shows about a holistic family. I mean, shows with priestesses with the Osiriset Society. We've done shows with Shechem Sa'anktaku Denebu on the Winter Solstice, which, by the way, is coming up, so you want to get ready for that. Don't wait till the winter solstice is here. It's almost here, so start getting your mind geared and ready for that. So just scroll down the archives and see a show that fits your liking and share this information with other people because that's what it's about. Who am I? My name is Juwanza. I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?